It's a Veterans Day edition of Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Pittsburgh native Carmen Gentile has worked as a freelance reporter embedded with American troops in Afghanistan, witnessing scenes from what has now become America's longest war. In 2010, a man wielding a rocket launcher fired an explosive ordnance straight at his head. He was blinded in one eye and suffered a shattered cheekbone. He wrote about the experience in his book called Kissed by the Taliban, and he joins us now in Studio A. Carmen Gentile, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. It is a pleasure to have you with us, sir.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated. I'm just, I know I'm a little late, but
better
late than ever.
You're right on time. We're being told that the Afghan army and police are taking the lead now in combat operations against the Taliban as U.S. troops get ready to leave. But we're not really hearing any victory declarations. You've been there. You've witnessed a lot of the conflict. Is the violence under control in Afghanistan?
No. The short answer is no. The Taliban continues to press the Afghan forces that are now in the lead throughout the country. There was just a number of operations, particularly in the east and the south, where the Taliban is strongest, that they have been hitting the forces. Now, Afghan forces have shown a great deal of resolve, and they take casualties, and they still go out, and they still fight. However, they just don't have the same training. They don't have the same equipment and logistical support that U.S. forces did. So it's a much more difficult fight for them.
You were in Afghanistan recently, as I understand.
Yes, this summer.
So what were you seeing?
I saw a lot of Afghan forces in the lead. U.S. forces have the mission there has changed dramatically over the years. This past summer, it was an advise and assist mission whereby they were continuing to train Afghan forces to be self-reliant. They were there helping them in an advisory capacity prior to missions and during missions. The Afghan forces would be in the lead in terms of maybe searching for Taliban suspects in villages, and the U.S. forces would hang back outside that village, and they were called in if needed. But most of the time, they wanted Afghan forces to handle these missions on their own.
So we're in year 12 now of this war, or actually it would be, I guess, technically year 13 that we're into. It's the longest war in American history, and we've seen a number of these soldiers on multiple deployments. So what about morale? And what were you seeing, and what were the troops telling you?
Well, a lot of these guys are into their fourth and fifth deployment, if you count their deployments to Afghanistan over the years. Those that have been on multiple deployments are obviously tired. It's taken a toll on them physically and mentally, emotionally. It definitely takes a toll at home as well. I've met a number of soldiers over the years under the age of 30 who have already been married and divorced twice. It is very difficult for the ones they leave behind to have somebody be gone for so long and in such a perilous situation. And it's also difficult for the soldiers who are young and on their first deployment in that they have heard stories about the fighting and the combat that their brothers and older friends and relatives came home from the war and told them, and they expected to have that same experience over there. A lot of them signed up for that experience, and what happens is that's not the experience they have now. Again, like I mentioned, they're in the rear a lot, not on the front lines, and they're frustrated with their experience over there because they want to fight.
Afghanistan has been in many ways characterized as a frustrating war, and it sounds like you've seen some of the frustration. You've witnessed what a lot of these American soldiers are going through.
Yes, it is particularly frustrating. It's frustrating because they have what they feel, and empirically, is that the best trained, best equipped military in the world. However, those advantages, be it in training and weapons and vehicles, are often negated because of the difficult terrain in Afghanistan, never having the high ground. The combat outposts in the mountains are often subject to attack from nearby peaks, and from, you know, 2-3 valleys away, they can fire artillery into these combat outposts, and it's very hard to find an elusive enemy that can crawl into a cave and disappear. It only takes one guy to lob a few mortars or a few rounds into a combat outpost and hurt or kill a number of soldiers, and that's very frustrating for them. And it's frustrating now, like as I mentioned before, because they're not in that same tip of the spear stance that they were before. They're in the advise and assist mode for the Afghan forces, and they're often seeing that the gains that were made in previous years are being lost as the Afghan forces take the lead, and that's very frustrating for a lot of soldiers.
Because of the topography of Afghanistan, the things that you were describing about just the way it's just naturally set up, there are those who have characterized our involvement there as, I've heard the term fool's errand used, and why didn't we learn anything from the Soviets, from their failure there? When you hear that, what do you think, Carmen?
I think that as Americans, as citizens and leaders, we have very short memories, and I think that our understanding of history is very poor, and we don't learn lessons from past mistakes, even mistakes not our own. The Soviet army has experienced the exact same difficulties, and it's the terrain. They took a very different approach to fighting in Afghanistan, often a scorched earth approach, whereby killing women and children was not an issue for them. And they could not subdue a very hardy enemy that didn't have nearly the same weapons or have the same numbers as the Afghan forces, or excuse me, as the Soviet forces, but they had the high ground. And why we don't learn from these lessons, like I said, we have this inability to learn from historical mistakes.
Sounds like you're saying that there is, though, a different sense of morality among the American forces, certainly than there was with the Soviets.
I would say on a whole, yes, absolutely. You know, there have been cases of U.S. forces taking living up to the code by which they were supposed to be fighting. There have been cases where there was a case a couple years ago where a soldier left a combat outpost, went and killed a number of women and children. That Sergeant Bales case, he was tried and here in the United States and convicted. There's just been a number of cases like that, but on a whole, it's not nearly what the Soviets did during that period. They were laying out toy bombs made to look like toys for children to pick up, so the children's arms would be blown off. I mean, that's
why.
A child that is, I think that thinking was that if you have a child that it's infirmed, it takes two people out of the fight, a father and a mother. It debilitates a family, and it keeps men from picking up a weapon. That was the thinking. If rather than kill a child, you're better off maiming a child. That was the Soviet mentality at that time.
We're talking with Carmen Gentile, Pittsburgh native, who has worked as a freelance reporter embedded with American troops in Afghanistan, witnessing scenes from what has now become America's longest war. And he's written a book about his experience, Kissed by the Taliban. It's been said, Carmen, that when the Taliban were driven out of Kabul and Kandahar and their military forces were defeated, that would have been a very good time for Americans and American forces to leave. What do you think, based on what you've seen?
I think that that's a really good question. Had we left right after forcing the Taliban out of Kabul and Kandahar, that the Taliban would have quickly returned and come back to power. Now, would that same Taliban have given refuge to Al-Qaeda, which was the reason why we went there in the first place? Probably not, because that probably would have been a lesson learned. It wasn't in their best interest in terms of maintaining control of the country to harbor Al-Qaeda. There are a lot of Afghans who particularly don't like foreigners in their country, not just U.S. forces, but they don't like Al-Qaeda there either. Had we left, I don't know. It's hard to say, because when you talk about the Taliban, you're not talking about one unified group. There are different factions of the Taliban. There's also other groups that we lump under the name Taliban. There's the Haqqani network in particular, that are sometimes allied and sometimes rivals with the Taliban. So it's hard to tell whether or not we're going to see a return of the Taliban to power in Afghanistan after we eventually do withdraw all forces. It's a distinct possibility, I think. Yes.
You suffered a shattered cheekbone. You were blinded in one eye covering this war, and yet you have gone back time and again to be embedded with troops. Why?
I think it's an important story, and I know for me personally, once I was hurt, I needed to go back because I couldn't let that incident define me for the rest of my life and prevent me from doing other things. So there was that psychological aspect of having to go back. And I think a lot of soldiers who have been hurt in combat will tell you the same thing. I ran into a soldier a couple years ago who had lost a leg in Iraq from the knee down and had a prosthetic. And he lobbied to return to combat, and he did. Was able to return to Afghanistan. I wanted to interview him for a story, and he said, "You know what? I don't think so. I don't want to detract from what the other soldiers here are doing at this combat outpost. I just want to do my job." And that's very admirable. And I understand that mentality of wanting to go back and wanting to be with your soldiers and continue in the fight.
As a reporter, do you form, as you're embedded with these troops, do you form relationships with them?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I when you go through what they go through, there's this, even in a short amount of time that I'm with them, you do form bonds. And I have a number of friends that I still keep in touch with. In fact, I just wrote a story that was just published today for Esquire about dark humor and how dark humor among soldiers is imperative to maintaining your sanity, even in the worst of situations. Guys are laughing and cracking jokes as bullets are whizzing around their heads. You have to, and plays a very integral role in maintaining those bonds and having those friendships.
In about 30 seconds, how will history judge our involvement in Afghanistan?
Wow.
Probably should have left you more time for that one, but
history will judge us for, obviously, for our mistakes more so than our successes, and that's just unfortunately the nature of history. Reporters journalists are often said to be the ones who craft the first draft of history. Whether or not we will be successful there remains to be seen. We won't know until after the drawdown.
Pittsburgh native Carmen Gentile has worked as a freelance reporter embedded with American troops in Afghanistan. He wrote about the experience in his book, Kissed by the Taliban. Carmen Gentile, thanks for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, as always.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.